Hello,
hello.
Boys and girls. Hope you're well. Hope you've had a fabulous Monday. Welcome back to another edition of the Stories We Tell with me, Mridula, or Ruby as you know me, and my wonderful Anika. Today, we have a guest. Oh, okay, just a moment. Today we are going to dedicate our story.
Shout out.
Shout out, as Joe Week says. Shout out. So we're going to
make fun of him.
No. I mean, I love you, Joe. Don't get me wrong. I just used to love it when you say, "I'm gonna shout out." It was so cool. I'm not making fun of him. I'm saying it in the nicest possible way, Joe. I loved the way you said shout out. Okay. So. Okay, right.
Ruining it.
So, no, I'm not ruining it.
You can keep on talking to make it feel better. But I don't think it's actually working. It's
like, no, so how about you say shout out?
No, we're not going to say anything about shout outs. We're just going to do a shout out.
Well done. So, today's stories are by one of my absolutely favourite authors called Sylvia Plath. Now, Sylvia Plath was an incredibly accomplished writer, but not many people knew, or rather she came to be known became famous for her works much later, and sadly after her death. But she wrote in her time some phenomenal little stories for children. And this
person.
One, a Spanish person. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. So today's story is called...
Can I tell you her name?
Give me 1 second, sweetie. Okay, go on. Tell me her name.
Oh, her name is Vanessa Christina.
Vanessa Christina. Okay. So we're going to read the It Doesn't Matter suit and other stories. And today's stories are dedicated to one of Anika's best friends and one of my favorite little girls who turns double digits today. Bum, bada, bum. And her name is Avni Wadera. Avni, this is for you. A big shout out for your birthday. Happy birthday. God bless you. Wish you lots and lots of love and happiness. And you will see why this story is as wonderful as it is. And indeed, all the stories in this book. So the It Doesn't Matter suit is what we're going to start with. And Anika tells me we have a guest by the name of Vanessa. So at some point, is Vanessa ready to be welcomed in? I'm going to start the book in the meantime. Max Nix was 7 years old and the youngest of seven brothers. First came Paul, the eldest and tallest of all seven. Then came Emil, then Otto and Walter, and Hugo and Johan. Last came Max. Max's whole name was Maximilian, but because he was only seven, he did not need such a big name. So everybody called him just Max. Max lived with Mama and Papa Nix and his six brothers in a little village called Winkelberg, halfway up a steep mountain.
You don't know if this is called Johan.
Huh? J-O-H-A-N-N.
It might be called Johan.
Let's call it Johan for now.
What if it's Johan?
It may be, but let's call it Johan for now. Right. Okay.
Wait, our guest.
Is here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hello, I'm Vanessa Christina. I come from
hello.
Spanish background. Hello.
Hello,
I
Vanessa.
I come from a Spanish background, but my other parts of the family are actually a bit from America, and my dad's side are from Thailand. And
dad's side is from Thailand, and mum's side is from
America.
America, but you were born in Spain.
We actually were going to do a haul. My dad and I think my dad and my mom.
Wonderful hodgepodge. That's so. You're a global citizen.
Yes, my dad and my mom. Technically, I've been overseas, but I've settled now for many years in Spain. So my first place that I was actually in was Brazil because my.
you were in Spain. When did you reach Brazil?
I will tell you the story. So basically, first when I was before I was born.
But Vanessa, could we read on the story first?
Of course, just give me one minute, please. So they, my mum and dad went to Spain, of course, because I was actually born in Spain, of course.
Yes.
But so they did some fiddling around, and on my first holiday, so I think I was 1 year old, I came on a plane with them, and I went to Brazil for holiday. But then we found out that we really liked it there, and for a few days we stayed in, for a week or so, we stayed in Airbnb. We really liked it there, so we decided to move in to Brazil. But then after a while, my grandma got sick, so we moved to Spain.
Oh.
But she didn't die. Luckily, she recovered very nicely.
Oh, thank God.
Thanks. Shout out to the NHS. So,
In Spain? No, the equivalent of the...
I'm saying NHS because I thought it'd be more suitable to stay in London. They might understand.
Oh,
instead of
so it's the Spanish... So it's the SHS, the Spanish Health Service. Something like that.
Well, something. Actually can't remember what this born. I don't really bringing back sad memories.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
No,
oh, well. Okay, so make yourself at home, Vanessa.
Much.
And let's get back. So... they were in Winkelberg, halfway up a steep mountain. The mountain had three peaks, and on all three peaks, winter and summer, sat caps of snow like three big scoops of vanilla ice cream. On nights when the moon rose round and bright as an orange balloon, you could hear the foxes barking in the dark pine forest high above Max's house. On clear sunlit days, you could see the river winking and blinking far, far below in the valley, small and thin as a silver ribbon. Max liked where he lived. Max was happy, except for one thing. More than anything else in the whole wide world, Max Nix wanted a suit of his own. He had a green sweater and green wool socks and a green felt hunting hat with a turkey feather in it. He even had a fine pair of leather knickers with carved bone with carved bone buttons. But everybody knows a sweater and a pair of knickers are not the same thing as a suit. A made-to-order suit with long trousers and a jacket to match. Wherever Max Nix looked in Winkelberg, east and west, north and south, high and low and round about, he saw people wearing suits. Some people had suits for work, and these were very, very sturdy suits of brown or grey cloth. Some people had suits for weddings, and these were very handsome suits with striped silk waistcoats. Some people had suits for skiing, and these were gay blue or red suits with rows of snowflakes or edelweiss embroidered on the cuffs and collars. Some people had summer suits of linen, white and crisp as letter paper. Papa Nix and Paul and Emil and Otto and Walter and Hugo and Johann all had suits. Like you said, it could be Johann. But I'm not entirely sure. Everybody on the mountain had some sort of suit, except Max. Now, Max did not want a suit just for work, that would be too plain, or just for weddings, that would be too fancy, or just for skiing, that would be too hot, or just for summer, that would be too cool. He wanted a suit for all year round. He wanted a suit for doing everything. Not too plain a suit for birthdays and holidays, and not too fancy a suit for school and calling the cows home. Not too hot a suit for hiking in July, and not too cool a suit for coasting in the snow. If Max had a suit for all year round, the butcher and the baker and the blacksmith and the goldsmith and the tinker and the tailor and the innkeeper and the schoolteacher and the grocer and the goodwives and the minister and the mayor and everybody else in Winkelberg would flock to their doors and windows when he went by. "Look," they would murmur to one another, "there goes Max Millen in his marvellous suit." If Max had a suit for doing everything, the cat in the alleys and the dogs on the cobbles of Winkelberg would follow him uptown and downtown, purring and gurring with admiration. That was the sort of suit Max was dreaming about the day the postman of Winkelberg knocked on the Nix's door and delivered the big package. The big package was shaped like a long, flattish box. It was wrapped around with heavy brown wrapping paper. It was tied with red string. Across the top of the package, Max spelled out Nix, N-I-X, in large black letters. The first name had been rained on, and not even the postmaster of Winkelberg could read it. So nobody knew which Nix the package was for. The package might be for Papa Nix, or Paul, or Emil, or Otto, or Walter, or Hugh, or Johann. It might even be for Max. No one could tell for sure. Mama Nix had just baked a batch of apricot tarts. Everybody sat around the kitchen table wondering who the package was for and who it was from and what was in it, eating up the apricot tarts one by one. It was not Christmas time, so it was not a Christmas present. It was not near anybody's birthday, so it was not a birthday present. It is too short, said Paul, to be a pair of skis. It is too small, said Emil, to be a toboggan. It is too light, said Otto, lifting the package easily, to be a bicycle. It is too wide, said Walter, to be a fishing rod. It is too large, said Hugo, to be a hunting knife. Johann put his ear to the package and gave it a little shake. It is too quiet, he said, to be a cowbell. Max did not say anything. It is too fine, he thought to himself, to be for me. At last the apricot tarts were all gone, and still nobody could guess what was in the package. Let us open it, everybody said. Papa Nix untied the knot in the red string. Mama Nix unwrapped the brown paper. Inside the brown paper was a grey cardboard box. Paul lifted the lid of the box. Inside the grey box was a lot of white tissue paper. Emil and Otto and Walter and Hugo and Johann and Max all helped to pull away some of the tissue paper. And there, in the grey box, with a wreath of white tissue paper around it, lay a woolly, whiskery, brand new mustard yellow suit with three brass buttons shining like mirrors on the front of it and two brass buttons at the back and a brass button on each cuff. What a strange suit, said Papa Nix. I have never seen anything quite like it. It is made of good strong cloth, said Mama Nix, feeling the yellow wool between thumb and forefinger. This suit will not wear out in a hurry. It is a handsome suit, said Paul. Light as a feather, said Emil. Bright as butter, said Otto. Warm.
Am I the girl or a boy?
I think they're all boys, honey. But maybe you're right. Maybe Emil is a... I forgot now. I thought they're all boys. Bright as butter, said Otto. Warm as toast, said Walter. Simply fine, said Hugo. Dandy, said Johann. Oh my! Every one of the seven brothers wished he owned just such a suit. But the suit looked as if it might be Papa Nix's size, so Papa Nix tried it on. The jacket was wide enough and the trousers were long enough. The suit fitted Papa Nix to a T. I shall wear the suit to work tomorrow, he said. Papa Nix worked in a bank. He thought how it would be to wear the woolly, whiskery, brand new mustard yellow suit to work. Such a suit had never, ever been seen before in all of Winkelberg. What would the people say? Perhaps they would think the suit was too gay for a sensible banker. Those brass buttons would flash out like big coins. All the other bankers wore dark blue or dark grey suits. None of them ever wore a mustard yellow suit. At last, Papa Nick sighed and said, I am too big to wear a mustard yellow suit. Paul held his breath. I will give the suit to Paul, said Papa Nix. So Paul tried on the mustard yellow suit. Paul was as tall as Papa Nix, so the trousers were the right length. He was not as broad as Papa Nix around the middle, though, so the jacket hung about him in a loose, flapping fold. But Mama Nix was clever. With a needle and thread, she took a tuck here and a stitch there. When she was through, the suit fitted Paul to a T. I shall wear the suit for skiing tomorrow, he said. Paul often went skiing with his friends. He thought how it would be to wear the woolly, whiskery, brand new mustard yellow suit. Such a suit had never, ever been seen before in all of Winkelberg. What would his friends say? Perhaps they would think yellow was a silly colour for a ski suit. He would look like a meadow of sunflowers against the snow. All his friends wore red ski suits or blue ski suits. None of them ever wore a mustard yellow ski suit. At last, Paul sighed and said, I also am too big to wear a mustard yellow suit. Emil held his breath. Let Emil try on the suit. So Emil tried on the mustard yellow suit. Emil was as broad as Paul, but shorter. The cuffs of the jacket covered his hands, and the cuffs of the trousers folded down over his shoes. But Mama Nix took a tuck here and a stitch there. When she was through, the suit fitted Emil to a T. I shall wear the suit in the toboggan race tomorrow, he said. Emil was a member of the Winkelberg toboggan team. Once a month, the team raced the team of the town on the other side of the mountain. He thought how it would be to wear the woolly, whiskery, brand new mustard yellow suit in these races. Such a suit had never been seen before in all of Winkelberg. What would his teammates say? Perhaps they would think he was trying to show off in the mustard yellow suit. He would look like a streak of lightning going down the toboggan track. All his teammates wore brown zipper jackets and brown pants. None of them ever wore a mustard yellow suit. At last, Emil sighed and said, I also am too big to wear a mustard yellow suit. Otto held his breath. Maybe the suit will be right for Otto, said Emil. So Otto tried on the mustard yellow suit. Otto was almost as tall as Emil, only his shoulders were not quite so broad. The jacket drooped a little, but Mama Nix took a tuck here and a stitch there. When she was through, the suit fitted Otto to a T. I shall wear the suit on my paper round tomorrow, he said. Otto delivered newspapers on his bicycle. He thought how it would be to wear the woolly, whiskery, brand new mustard yellow suit on his paper round. Such a suit had never been seen before in all of Winkelberg. What would his customers say? Perhaps they would think the suit was too fancy for a paper boy. He might splash mud on it or be caught in the rain. Oh, and what a sorry sight he would be then. All the other paper boys wore their old clothes when they delivered papers. None of them ever wore a brand new mustard yellow suit. At last, Otto sighed and said, I also am too big to wear a mustard yellow suit. Walter held his breath. If the suit fits me, it should fit Walter, said Otto. So Walter tried on the mustard yellow suit. Walter was a little shorter than Otto and a little thinner. But Mama Nix took a tuck here and a stitch there and moved the brass buttons over an inch. When she was through, the suit fitted Walter to a T. I shall wear the suit ice fishing tomorrow, he said. Walter often went ice fishing in Winkelberg. In Winkelberg Lake in the winter. He thought how it would be to wear the woolly, whiskery, brand new mustard yellow suit ice fishing. Such a suit had never been seen before in all of Winkelberg. What would the fish think? Perhaps the suit would frighten them away. It would glow through the ice like the bright sun. The other fishermen all wore green suits in the summer so the fish could not tell them from leaves, and brown suits in the winter so the fish could not tell them from tree trunks. None of them ever wore a mustard yellow suit. At last, Walter sighed and said, I also am too big to wear the mustard yellow suit. Hugo held his breath. Perhaps Hugo might like to wear it, said Walter. So Hugo tried on the mustard yellow suit. Hugo was a good deal shorter than Walter, but Mama Nix snipped a bit here and trimmed a bit there with her scissors and turned the thread ends under. When she was through, the suit fitted Hugo to a T. I shall wear the suit hunting tomorrow, he said. Hugo often went fox hunting in the forest above Winkelberg, for the foxes stole the plump Winkelberg chickens. He thought how it would be to wear the woolly, whiskery, brand new mustard yellow suit fox hunting. Such a suit had never been seen before in all Winkelberg. What would the fox think? Perhaps the fox would just hide in a hole and laugh at him. The brass buttons would beam like lanterns from far off and warn the fox he was coming. All the other hunters wore checked and speckled suits, so the fox could not see them easily in the checked and speckled shade of the forest. None of them ever wore a mustard yellow suit. At last Hugo sighed and said, I also am too big to wear a mustard yellow suit. Johan held his breath. Let's see how the suit looks on your hand, said Hugo. So Johan tried on the mustard yellow suit. Johan was shorter and rounder than Hugo, but Mama Nix snipped here and clipped there and moved the buttons back to the edge of the jacket. When she was through, the suit fitted Johan to a T. I shall wear the suit for milking the cows tomorrow, he said. Johan took turns with his six brothers milking Papa Nix's cows. He thought how it would be to wear the woolly, whiskery, brand new mustard yellow suit for milking the cows. Such a suit had never been seen before in all Winkelberg. What would the cows think? Perhaps they would take him for a bundle of whiskery yellow hay and nibble at his collar? Everybody else wore blue overalls for milking cows. Nobody ever wore a mustard yellow suit. At last Johan sighed and said, Oh, even I am too big to wear a mustard yellow suit. Max could hardly keep from jumping up and down now, but he held still as a mouse and waited to see what would happen. Max has no suit, said Johan. Goodness, said Papa Nix. Gracious, said Mama Nix. Let it be Max's suit, everybody said, nodding and smiling. So Max tried on the mustard yellow suit. Max was the shortest and thinnest of all the Nix brothers, but Mama Nix snipped and stitched and took tucks and moved buttons. When she was through, the suit fitted Max as if it were made to order. I shall wear the suit, Max said, today and tomorrow and the day after that. Max went to school in his mustard yellow suit. He walked straight and he sat tall. And pretty soon the school children began to wish they had suits like the suit Max wore. So even though nobody in Winkelberg had ever seen such a suit before, it didn't matter. Max went skiing in his mustard yellow suit. He slipped and slid for a way on the seat of his pants, but the cloth of the suit was very strong and didn't rip, so it didn't matter. Max rode his bicycle in his mustard yellow suit. He got caught in the rain, but the drops ran right off the whiskery suit like drops off a duck's back, so it didn't matter. Max went ice fishing in his mustard yellow suit. The fish came swimming up to see what gleamed so bright on the other side of the ice, and Max caught enough for supper. He got some fish scales on his suit, but everybody was so busy admiring Max's fish that they never noticed, so it didn't matter. Max went coasting in his mustard yellow suit. He tipped over once or twice and landed in a cold snowbank, but the woolly suit was very warm, so it didn't matter. Max went fox hunting in his mustard yellow suit. The fox saw something yellow through the trees and thought it was a fat yellow Winkleburg chicken. His mouth started to water and he came running. Max caught the fox. He lost a brass button in the bushes, but the button shone out like a star in the dark forest and he found it again. So it didn't matter. Max milked the cows in his mustard yellow suit. The suit's sunny color made the cows dream of buttercups and daisies in the spring meadows, and they mooed for happiness. When Max finished the milking, he had 3 pails full of the creamiest milk ever seen in Winkleburg. Some pieces of hay stuck to the suit, but the hay was yellow and the suit was yellow and the hay didn't show, so it didn't matter. Max walked uptown and downtown and round about Winkleburg in his mustard yellow suit. When he went by, the butcher and the baker, the blacksmith and the goldsmith, the tinker and the tailor, the innkeeper and the school teacher, the grocer and the goodwives, the minister and the mayor, all leaned out of their doors and windows. "Look!" they murmured to one another. "There goes Max Millen in his marvelous suit." And the cats in the alleys and the dogs on the cobbles of Winkleburg followed at his heels, purring and gurring with admiration for Max Nix and his wonderful, woolly, whiskery, brand new, mustard yellow, it doesn't matter suit. What a fabulous story. I loved this so much because everyone was so concerned about what others would say, about fitting in. Oh, we can't wear this because we'll stick out like a sore thumb. Oh, what will people say? But Max didn't care. And guess what? Because he didn't care and because he was just so free, and he didn't care about being boxed in a certain way or being looked at differently, people actually started to accept him. And they really didn't care. It really didn't matter whether it was yellow or woolly or whiskery or whatever. And what this goes to tell us is all our fears, all our worries, all our concerns are just in our heads. Just in our heads. So, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lesson. It doesn't matter what you wear. This is a phenomenal story on so many levels. It tells you so much more than just the clothes you wear. You are bigger than that. You are better than that. It's all here in your lovely little minds. When you exude confidence, when you feel confident, people look at you confidently and you feel good about things, and it just makes life beautiful, happy and wonderful. So on that note, I mean, there's so much I can say about this, but I'm conscious that it's quite late now. So on that note, I'm going to call it a night. Happy birthday once again, Avni. God bless you, bacha. I wish you a wonderful, happy year. And remember, it doesn't matter what you wear or what you do, it really doesn't matter because you are fabulous. And to all the children out there, I hope you remember that always and forever. I wish you a wonderful night. I wish you sweet dreams, and I will talk to you on the other side. Toodles.